Hello, welcome to Widnes Rugby Chats, episode 19. We're down here at Parkland Sports Club today. We're going to talk to Whistle, a couple of committee members from Whistle are waiting inside to speak to me. Before we go in there and sort that out, just want to thank sponsors as always, Musical All Sorts, PD Law, Arnold Gorse Financial Management and Deals Jewellers. Before we go in and do this interview, we've got interviews with Kieran Pertle and Jack Owens, provided by Adrian Jackson following the Challenge Cup win over Oldham at the weekend. Here's what they had to say after that game.
Jack Owens, Challenge Cup done and dusted, witnessing the next round. All in all, not a bad performance.
Yeah, I think, as we know, Challenge Cup is just about getting the win. We've been going well in the league, obviously 6 from 7 in the league. So yeah, we're going well, but like you said, Challenge Cup, it's sort of a clean slate. You can get away with it. First half, we done what we should have done second half, and credit to them, you know, they made it awkward for us, and yeah, they come fighting back second half.
Always difficult to play in lower league opposition because you don't know what to expect.
Well, that's the thing, obviously, the way we play the game slightly different to them, you know, they're flying up, turning up everywhere. They made it really hard for us, and credit to them, you know, they stuck to it, and yeah, hopefully they'll do alright the rest of the year then.
First half really was top draw.
Yeah, that's the thing, that's what we said, you know, first half we blew them away, you know, and to be honest, I thought we'd do the opposite way. I thought second half we'd get them with fitness and that, and they shocked us, but like you said, first half we blew them away. Scored some decent tries before, you know, some good longer range tries, and yeah, we'll build on to that, back to the league next week, and then we'll work for the round and see who we get the week after.
You mentioned the tries, you got a hat-trick alongside Ryan Ince.
Yeah, well, first time I've ever got one of them, so we'll take it, you know.
Okay.
But yeah, Ince, I love playing with Ince, you know, it's what he brings. You give him half a chance and he's going to take it, and that's what he's been doing for us all year. And yeah, like I said, as a team, you know, we just need to attack. We know we're good. Defence leaves it there. We want to keep him to zero. But they scored a try from the kick, which we'll take. But he scored a couple of sloppy tries, which we could have prevented. So we'll go back. We'll work on that, and hopefully we can try and nil Batley next week.
Back in the standoff role today, how did you find that?
Yeah, it was a last minute thing. You know, Craven had a little bit of a niggle yesterday in training. Hopefully he's going to be all right. But I don't mind, to be honest. Obviously, fullback's my favourite position, where I feel most comfortable. But I don't mind playing it. It's good to play with Joe Lyons as well, you know, young lad coming through. So I think it helps him out having, if Craven's not there, I think it's a bit better having me there, you know, a bit of an older head now, and can calm him down and just let him do his stuff, and I'll do the simple stuff.
In your second spell with the club, how are you finding it now?
Oh, mate, I'm loving it. As soon as I knew all the situation with Lee last year, I just wanted to get back to Widnes. I think it's showing on the pitch, you know, I'm going all right, and it helps obviously the team's going all right, but yeah. I'm just getting my confidence back now, and goal kicking's looking good again, so yeah, I'm loving it, and hopefully, you know, we can just keep taking it week by week, hopefully win by win, and we're going to push for that top five and see what happens.
That starts next week, and Batley away, it's no mean feat.
No, I've played Batley, oh, I've been there too many times, you know, I think in the past two seasons when I was at Sheffield and Lee, I think I played there about 5 times, so I'll be honest, it's not a nice place to go to. Big Hill, the crowd are close to you, the crowd get on your back, and they're a big tough team, so they're going to be similar today, they're going to be awkward, they're going to be they're not going to be conventional, and we're going to have to put a better performance. The second half we did today is going to be better next week.
Fans turned out in numbers again, and hopefully they'll be over the hill on Sunday.
Oh yeah, we don't ever question that anymore. The fact they're turning up to games like that and paying money to turn up for them Challenge Cup games, when technically on paper it should be a win before the game, you know, it's massive for us, and we buzz off it, you know, we speak about it in the changing rooms, we read all the stuff on Twitter, and just on behalf of the lads and the coaching staff and everyone at the club, we can't thank you enough, and keep turning up, please.
You know, that was a rousing Twist and Shout song in the dressing room at the end.
Yeah, you know, Twist and Shout, that's the winner's song, and hopefully if you're around, you're going to hear it every week.
Cheers, chat. Kieran Pertle, job done today.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's about coming, getting a win and getting into the next round. We thought we did that. I thought it was very good first half, and second half we probably just eased back a little bit, and we made quite a few changes and give some guys some more game time. But I'm happy with what we did, and happy to get the win, and happy to be in the next round.
You mentioned the first half performance, some really well taken tries.
Yeah, there was. You know, our attention was really good that first half, and our processes in what we did was good. And I think, you know, sometimes when you get that far in front, you tend to just dip off a little bit, and I thought we did that second half. But I think full credit to Oldham, they never gave in. They had good line speed without, and you know, they showed some good touches there in the second half.
Owen Buckley left the field. What's the problem with him?
Yeah, we'll get him assessed tomorrow. It's looking like an ankle injury at the moment. It's not looking too good, but you know, we'll know more tomorrow on that one.
You brought Dom Speakman on. How do you feel he went?
Yeah, did all right. Dom, he's been training, obviously, since day one of pre-season. He's been patient and he's been close to nearly getting in a couple of times. It's just been held up. So it was good for Dom to get a game time today and get out there and get some minutes under his belt.
And a good workout for the boys to get a good scoreline on the board.
Yeah, it was. You know, I thought second half, and we left the Twins out there a bit longer than they normally do, and a couple of other guys as well. And I thought when we got the win in the bank, it was just a chance for us to give some people some game time coming up to Easter now, because everyone in the squad are going to get tested over these next few weeks.
Next up, it is going to be Batley. That's another challenge. That's going to be quite tasty.
Yeah, Batley is a tough place to go to. Good practice today on this hill, so we'll take a little bit out of that. But you know, Batley's always tough, no matter what time of year you go there. It's a tough place to go. You know, you have to go with a good attitude and be willing to roll your sleeves up and work hard, and we'll be ready to go next week.
Once again, the Widnes fans here in numbers.
Yeah, brilliant. Every single week, fantastic. It's the one consistent that probably the club's had this year is the number of fans turning up to the game. So, you know, we're really appreciated. The boys love it, and we hope to see them all at Batley next week.
So we're down here at Parklands with members of the Whistle Committee. We've got Chairman Ian Germany. Clark. Anne-Marie, what's your official title?
I am Head of Fundraising on the committee, aren't I?
Head of Fundraising. Yeah. So there was the members' night at the club on Monday night, which was supported by Whistle, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to find out a bit more about what Whistle are doing. They recently had the committee member elections. Ian, you got the short straw, and you're in there.
I certainly did, yes.
So do you want to tell us a little bit? I know we've had a show previously where we've discussed Whistle and whatnot, but can you just give us a little more update of where it's at?
Yeah, so as I say, we had the AGM on the 18th of March, and our first committee meeting was on the 26th. So we had our first meeting down the table, trying to identify what we wanted to do, how our committee should look, and what things we wanted to for the club. From that, we set up a fundraising subcommittee, which Anne-Marie is heading up, and we are looking at a subcommittee for media and communications, which we're just trying to get some skill sets within our membership to see if they're interested in doing that at the moment.
Is there a reason you brought that up now? Because I've been.
Absolutely, yeah. We want to coach you.
Obviously, it's moved. You know, obviously a lot of things have been going on and stuff like that, and I know there's been people asking, well, what, you know, what's the purpose? Is it, am I right in saying now that fundraising is the priority?
It is our main priority. Again, we need to have discussions with the club in how our intervention is going to look. So, for example, what areas of the club are we fundraising for? Our ideas at the moment are like the academy set up, the development squad, and put money into that. Again, I've said this with a lot of people, the Vicky Fund's great what they do, and again, it's a higher echelon to what we can achieve, and if they want to put money into the first team squad, that's sort of ring fence for that. So we just need to look a little bit lower than that, and obviously the academy is key to our survival. I think with 11 or 17 players on Sunday in that team, you know, that's something we want really to keep hold of.
Yeah, certainly most weeks now, the, you know, 11 or 12 players in the academy, very, very important.
Absolutely.
You mentioned Vicky there, and I'm glad you did a little bit, because is there not a little bit concerned that we're diluting it a little bit? Because obviously you've got, I mean, the club's presumably going to want us to buy season tickets next season, and then obviously they want fans to be part of Vicky as well, and then obviously now you're looking at being membership of Whistle as well. Is there not a concern that maybe there's a little too much?
No, I think the Widnes Club in general has always had numerous supporters groups. Again, you know, the Lady Vikings, which I believe over the last couple of weeks has been disbanded. You've got the Alan Ray Supporters Club. So there's been other factors out there, and I think going forward, and again, from my opinion, we all need to work together. You know, we're all there for the same goal, and that's to support our club, fundraise for our club, and keep it in existence. I mean, we came so close to losing it, and we really need to all pull together in making it a success. Well, that is a biggest success we can. We haven't got a sugar daddy. I don't think we're going to get one anytime soon. So again, what we can do as fans, certainly, and certainly the people who come on the board, that's what we need to just focus on at the moment.
And as we see on Monday night, one of Whistle's projects, if you like, but at the moment is assisting with that fundraiser and supporting the events to help the club who may not necessarily have the resource or the time or whatever it is to deliver events that raise, which are so important to raising money. I mean, I don't know how much money was raised on Monday night, but I'm sure it was a decent amount.
Yeah, I mean, again, you know, it was mentioned that the members, night it was £402, through raffles, which was, it was absolutely brilliant. About 160, maybe 170 people there, so yeah, it was reasonable enough. Just going forward, again, the club, we've had a few bits of dialogue with the club about fundraising, but also about the skill set of our members. So, you know, the skills of our members is an important commodity, the time of our members is an important commodity as well. It's not all about pounds, shillings and pence. So what can we offer as a membership or people within our membership? You know, what skills have they got that can assist the club in the long run? Bearing in mind that the club have lost some staffing wise and that sort of thing. So, you know, again, we're open to that with the club and we've opened discussions on that, and hopefully over the next couple of weeks that will become more clear to us.
So at the moment, money that Whistle fundraises sits in the Whistle bank account,
that's,
I presume, right. And then how are you then deciding, how's it going to work out, that decides what that funds gets used for?
Yeah, well, the way we're set up, I mean, again, the money will go in the bank, as you say. The club will approach us with, you know, can we have X amount of money we want. Again, as an example, we want a new piece of gym equipment for the academy, as an example. We would then put that to our members. Now, we're just in the process. I mean, there's a couple of things where an online voting thing and things like that, we're looking at setting up so it's quicker. Because what we want to do, we don't want to rest on the request by the company, the club, and say, oh, well, we'll have to wait a week while we consult our members. We want to try and get the fluidity in that, so we're giving them more or less an answer within maybe 48 hours, 72 hours, something like that. But again, as the constitution we've got set up, it's for our members to decide how that money is spent.
So the members will do like a vote. So if
it'll
be a case of pick from these three options, or a case of yes or no, basically.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It could be either, couldn't it, depending on what is asked for.
Exactly, that's right. Yeah, and again, we're not clear on what the club will ask for and what guys that's going to form. Mm. Again, that's a discussion we've got to have. The board have had a manic couple of weeks, and they're trying to settle themselves into their roles and this and that. So, you know, it's not for us to be pushing that at the moment. And obviously, when the time's right, we'll engage with.
Anne-Marie, so you're obviously heading up the fundraising side. I know you've got a few ideas. Do you want to tell us about a few of those?
So, on the 18th of April, we're having an Easter family fun afternoon here. There will be activities for children. There will be players here, there'll be food put on, and then after that we're going to screen the 89 game because it's 2 days before its anniversary, and then so hopefully we'll have a good, fun, interesting little night.
Yeah, I mean, it has been good, I suppose, having these events, because it was one of those things that has been lost over the years where there's not been as many events where fans can get together, and certainly you feel that a little bit on the terraces now that people are starting to get used to socialising with each other a little bit more, which is good. Tell us a bit more about future events and ideas, and are you open to ideas for fundraising and stuff like that?
We're absolutely open to any ideas that people put forward. We've got a little subcommittee on the go now, so we're discussing things and other people are having input. Things we are looking at is a bingo night, like a bit like Bongo's Bingo, but not obviously that. We're looking at some fun nights, you know, maybe a ladies' dinner. We're looking at race nights. We're looking at different things.
And
not high-end black tie sit-down £40 a ticket events. More accessible ones for people who maybe can't afford that. You know.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think, you know, having that regular engagement is important. We were talking before, James, behind the camera there. We were talking. Witness Rugby Chat, so Q&A with Anthony Gellin with a live audience, £5 a ticket. We think that's a winner for fundraising.
That's actually a good idea.
See, I do have my moments sometimes.
Hang on, is that a pigeon just at the moment?
I suppose, what are the challenges now for Whistle? I mean, how do you, is it just a case of getting things done now in terms of those fundraising events? And
yeah, I mean, again, you know, Anne-Marie's got some good ideas and the committee she's set up, you know, I think it's about 10 people at the moment. But, you know, we're going to push on. Again, we've got our discussions with the club in how they can, and we've already had a discussion with Tracy Glendening, who's the commercial director at the club, and she's very pro getting this move forward, setting up a calendar of events for the whole year, which will be either whistle run or the club run. So there was a good discussion last week. Myself and Anne-Marie went and discussed that with Tracy, and there's some good things come out of it, so we need to get back. The first event, obviously, we want an event in April. Anne-Marie put a hand up, said, I think we can sort this, which is, you know, a credible tip to Anne-Marie. But they want a regular, maybe monthly thing where it keeps the momentum going, but without overcrowding it too much. So if Witness are going to do something in, say, June, then maybe Whistler can do something in July and vice versa, so it's not, you know, too close together and people are getting, I say, you can have too much fundraising at the end of the day. We want it to be all inclusive, but again, before loads of people actually come.
Yeah, I mean, I think what, I mean, off the back of this discussion, sort of off the cuff, I came in without knowing necessarily exactly how things are going to pan out. Vicky, in terms of the ongoing membership revenue, is important because that goes in, well, goes into the club or goes into signings, however they decide that that's going to operate. And now Whistle's different in terms of it's actually going to be doing events and fundraising events to generate the money, not necessarily through a membership, but through, you know, like say raffles,
yeah,
or entry fees to an event. So it's, so that's the clear differentiation, I suppose, between.
Well, it's not exactly. I mean, we do have a membership again at the moment. We've set that membership as a pound. We're looking to potentially have an AGM in September when our financial year comes round again, and potentially then looking into the prospect of different states of membership, so full memberships and children's memberships and this, that and the other. But until that time, we're still offering membership to Whistle for a pound. That obviously gives you access to, you know, members' nights, which the club are running at the moment. We'll be running our own members' nights as well. But it also, you know, gives you access to offer your time, which again, as I explained before, is an important commodity. And you know, if you can give your time and your skills to the club, then you work alongside the club. I think a lot of people would, you know, would actually like that sort of thing, you know, to feel part of something. You know, so.
Well, I mean, you know, like you mentioned Tracy Commercial, it's like we all know people who've got businesses and we know people who work. It's like if we, you know, just as much as the club always used to say, well, bring your mates to a game, if you can introduce the club to, you know, the company you work for,
yeah,
or someone you know, you know,
yeah,
it's just, and I suppose the good thing about Whistle or, you know, whoever else is there, you know, the club can't speak to 5,000 fans at once, but if they speak to Whistle, then Whistle use that,
yeah,
to.
And I think it's certainly fresh breath air, the new board, and interacting with the fans and, you know, the things that fans can bring to it, where the last couple of years it's just been absolutely, you know, dormant. Again, the love for the club, and a lot of fans has come out again, and people want to give the time, they want to help the club. You know, and again, the club would be, you know, would be crazy to let that go. And I say Phil Finney last night was saying, we want you guys to be part of it. You know, going forward, you are part of what we're trying to do, which again is commendable.
I mean, how important is it to encourage that? I mean, we all, you know, the thing that unites us all is Witness. You know, the common goal is that we all want Witness to be the best that they can possibly. How important is that for everyone to remember that? You know, because sometimes the you know, people might disagree with each other, ultimately the common goals are safe.
Absolutely. Well, they come so close to losing the club. I mean, again, I don't think people realise how close it was. You know, we were probably hours away from having no club at all, and to set up again and potentially in a different division, and again it wouldn't have been the same club. So, you know, there's a lot of effort gone into it. Certainly the fans all pulled together during that period, and again, you know, I've been here 20 years within Witness, and I've never seen an outpour of support like that in all my time here. And it was, you know, it was humbling, and you know what, it brought a tear to my eye, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, even though I'm not born and bred with knees, and it's part of, you know, what I do and what I think the last 20 years, and it was great.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, went to Oldham at the weekend, and Oldham's a good example of a club that's like got nothing left, pretty much. They've not got, they've rented the ground off a pretty much an amateur football team. They've got 300, 400, maybe 500 fans that push, and it's like, what you don't want to see is Witness, you know, with all due respect to Oldham, you don't want Witness to go to that level when clearly you've got 5,000-6,000 people,
exactly,
that really care about it.
Yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned about not being from Witness here. So tell us where your connection with Witness comes from and how you got into watching.
Well, I say I was born and bred in Skelmersdale for all my sins, so I am a woolly back by heart, but I have a Scouse accent. But yeah, I moved to Witness in 1996. basically because I worked up here and I was traveling, so I decided to move up here. I met my my wife, who's now my ex-wife, unfortunately, and her dad was a big Indonesian. Unfortunately, he died a couple of years ago, but I went to a game with him. He had a corporate box or whatever, so he took me to a game and I just got hooked. And from then, a season ticket every year with two children. Again, got season tickets. So it was three shirts every year, three season tickets, whatever else, you know what I mean? Again, it was just part, it was a family thing. Fortunately, my kids have grown up now, one's in university, one works on a Sunday, so she can't come to the rugby with me, so I'm back on my own, basically.
Yeah.
So, but again, you know, I love them. Apart from the last season or two, I've loved supporting them. Again, last year was tough. It was a case of, do I really want to go to them?
Yeah.
It was the style of rugby, it was the atmosphere wasn't there. And again, coming back to the, you know, again, the Halifax game, certainly the Featherstone game, it was like, well, we've got this back, you know, we've got that club back in, that's great.
Yeah, I mean, I said it last season, you know, I actually didn't have a season ticket last season, which is the first time I hadn't had one for 20 years or whatever. And I must admit, that was the lowest point, I think, last season was, I went to Barrow on my own, I went to Oldham on my own, and it's like, you know, to compare that to 10 years ago when I was going, or 5-10 years ago, where you'd be going with a few people and stuff, it'd be nice, you know, it's a shame that it's sort of that sort of thing's happened.
Yeah,
but, Amory, you tell us your little background story then about Widnes and watching Widnes.
I'm born and bred in Widnes in Holmview, and I've watched Widnes forever. It's what we did, it's what you do, it's part of the town, it's part of.
Well, we've said it before on one of these shows, it's basically put Widnes on the map, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's what we do. You go to the game on Sunday, that's what you do.
Yeah, I think Roger Harrison made a point last night. You go somewhere and you say Widnes and you either say, oh, we've got a rugby club or you've got Bridge. So,
yeah,
you know, there's only two things, really. So.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you know, I've said it before on previous shows that the council should maybe make more of it, and maybe they will at some point in the future. But thanks for your time, Ian, Anne-Marie. Obviously, the website's being worked on at the moment. It's whistle.co.uk. Obviously, reach out to you guys on social media and whatnot. Even reach out in the comments on this show as well, and I'll make sure you put in touch with Ian and Anne-Marie if necessary. Do like and share the video as always, and we'll see you next week.